a diabetes breakthrough.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Miss America 2012 is... Miss Wisconsin!
Did anybody watch that over the weekend? You know, that used to be must-see TV. It did. I can remember when I was a little kid growing up in New Jersey. It was Atlantic City where they held the Miss America pageant, and it was a huge deal. But does anybody watch that anymore? Congratulations to Miss Wisconsin, by the way, because she is officially, as you just heard, Miss America. And so it begins, this hour of America tonight. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, hanging out with all of you across this great nation and all those nooks and crannies and the flyover states and whatnot. A big week actually coming up because South Carolina at the end for the Republicans. It is the end of the road for one Republican. So the Republican who's decided he's had enough is John Huntsman. John Huntsman officially dumps out of the race on Monday, although it's already been leaked all over the place that he's out, he's gone. Apparently, he wasn't getting enough movement. He wasn't growing the campaign enough. That makes sense. But where does he throw his endorsement? It looks like he's throwing his endorsement to fellow Mormon Mitt Romney, who leads in all the polls, by the way, still in South Carolina. But Ron Paul's picking up some endorsements, and Newt Gingrich is making some noise and spending a lot of money. And until people actually vote in the primary, who's to say, even though it looks like it's Mitt Romney? Sometimes things look like they're set up to go a certain way, and then at the last second, it turns. You have South Carolina, then Florida, and then you go through the rest of the primaries. If Mitt Romney should win South Carolina, and we'll know that over the weekend, then heading into next week, it gets interesting because how many primaries does it take to call something on the Republican quest to get back the White House? The sooner you narrow it down to that person, the more time you have to pound out the message instead of waiting ultimately till the last second when it's neck and neck and it's still undecided. So once it's whittled down, it's actually, I think, much better because the focus can be there. And you remember, we don't have this, even the presidential debates until October and, of course, voting in November. So there's still a lot of time left. We're just into the very beginning of January, but it's about narrowing the field and focusing on one person or focusing on just a couple of people. You know, the three left standing could be, and would you have believed this if I had told you this maybe 6 months ago, but the three left standing could very well be, I think, Mitt Romney for sure. Could be Newt Gingrich and could be Ron Paul. I wouldn't be surprised by Ron Paul. He's finishing well in all of these primaries, and he definitely has some money behind him and some momentum. He has younger people that are pushing for him with the liberty stance and with some of his takes on where we're headed government-wise, too much red tape. So those are the three that could be there in the end. Rick Santorum, who is still in the race, he has not pulled out, and neither has the governor of Texas, Rick Perry. They seem a little shakier to me. They seem like they may stay in for a while, but how long is a while if they start to see they're still in the single digits, still in the single digits, and especially after South Carolina not making any noise, not knocking on the door of that conservative vote, if that's the case. It is about raising the money and getting the big checks, and Mitt Romney just got another one for $5 million. If you don't get the PACs raising the money, giving you the big dollar amounts, it becomes much harder to continue down that road. That's the ultimate Achilles heel for anyone running. You have to have the backers. If you don't have the backers, you just cannot win that nomination. You cannot do it. over the weekend, while you might have been relaxing, watching some of the games perhaps, or doing something with your family, which would be the optimum thing, I would assume, for many people, there were some crazy things that happened, including the fact that you had the strangeness of a cruise ship going down very close to land. People started to panic, and they were jumping off the boat. There was over 3,000 people on this cruise ship. This is radio, but let me tell you, you see a cruise ship. Just picture a cruise ship in your mind. Now, boom, flip it over, and it is sinking. And you just see it on its side sinking, and then ultimately pulling that Titanic move where it goes up in the air and poof, it's going down. And this happened in Italy. The name of the ship was the Costa Concordia. They now say 6 people are dead, 16 people are not accounted for, and there's at least 20 people that have been injured, all kinds of different injuries. Well, people were jumping from the boat for their life. Nobody was telling them what to do. They were just jumping, and they were very close to shore, so that's what some did. The question is, how did they get that close to shore and run aground? How does that happen? It's a luxury cruise ship. And what happened was water just whipped through the hole. You had a 160-foot gash in that hole. So, where was the evacuation instructions? Aren't they crazy with the drills that they make people do? I've never taken a cruise, but they do that drilling thing. So if they did the drill, you would think they would have some kind of order and know what they were doing. There had to be some human error here. And the captain abandoned the ship. So that's not a good thing. The captain, Francesco Scatini, I think is his name, they arrested him, and they're holding him for suspected manslaughter, and they're investigating those allegations that I said that he took off, abandoned the liner before the passengers had even escaped. He just took off. I mean, that's against code. Who does that? No captain scurries off the boat. Oh, and if a captain does do it, by the way, legally, if a captain leaves a ship in danger, they can already face up to 12 years in prison. And people say there were people that got off the boat. They say they saw the captain in a lifeboat covered by a blanket. He was off the ship before all the passengers were off. Ooh. He's saying he didn't leave, but there's a lot of questions as to what happened here. And this ship was just 150 yards from land. It ran aground, hit the rocks, and they're trying to say it wasn't on the nautical charts. Oh, that's frightening. And there was a lot of people, by the way, too. They were all kinds of people. They weren't all just Italian folks. There were people that were traveling that were there, and sad, sad thing for all those people that happened to be on that liner. Ooh. I don't know. When I think about cruises, I think of these kidnapping things, people falling off the boat, and then this ship that flipped so close to land. Wow. More to come as we kick the can down the road here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep
all right, just to clear things up, I've gotten a lot of emails from all of you here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, saying, Kate, did I nail the score? Did anybody watch the New England-Denver game? If you remember the score that you told me, then you know you didn't nail the score. The score was New England 45, Denver 10. Nobody nailed the score. Now, there were some people that had a big, you know, a big space between Denver and New England, thought that New England was going to wallop the Broncos, but nobody had that exact score. There was one score, Perry, who had 42-17, and I think that was the closest that I could find. But some of us had I had New England winning, but the score was close. Some people had Denver winning. Nobody nailed the score. Let's hope next week, because we get down to the divisional rounds, that somebody can nail the score. One of the things you'd win is that Magellan GPS. It's worth $300, and it's wireless, and it's got all kinds of maps and unlimited maps for the rest of your life. And if you get lost, you can say where you are, and it helps you. It's like the OnStar thing almost. I love that, because that's what happens. I'm a landmark person. A lot of you listening to me will say, go 2 miles southwest, and then you turn, go half a mile northwest. No, forget that. I need go to the deli, then you go 3 blocks to the light, turn by the fire station, then you'll pass that old creek. That's how I grew up, landmarks. People would tell you, look for this, go this. And so I always have a tough time when it's just go X amount of miles. Now, with all the things that we have, it's much easier with the GPS, certainly, but I still always tend to look for landmarks, and these GPSs have the landmarks. Or if you're out somewhere and or if you're traveling somewhere and you're looking for some place to eat or some hotel or whatever, you can find it on the GPS too. So don't forget our third hour on Friday morning. Call in. You don't have to know anything about football. It's like playing the lottery, only you don't have to pay a buck. You just tell us who you think's going to win the game, whatever game, the AFC or NFC divisional game, I don't know which one it's going to be, and what you think the final score will be. How easy is that? And, of course, we'll do it for the Super Bowl, too. All right, speaking of sports here for a second, the one sad sports story that cut across sports boundaries that, unfortunately, I think really made us all just sick to our stomachs is the fact that Joe Paterno went out the way he did, a living legend, 6 decades. And then this terrible scandal breaks with Jerry Sandusky, one of his coaches, and the molestation charges, the sexual abuse scandal. And, you know, here's Paterno, who now finally has made some public statements since being fired. After it's a total of 46 seasons at Penn State, he talked to the Washington Post, and he said he didn't know how to deal with the situation when he got a report that his former defensive coordinator was accused of abusing a boy in the showers.
I called, you know, my superiors, and I said, "Hey, we got a problem. I think would you guys look into it?" Because I didn't know, you know, I had never had to deal with something like that.
Well, and yeah, that's the thing. It's not a surprise that he hadn't to deal with anything with that. It's just the way it was handled. So, Paterno, you know, Sandusky is saying he's innocent. He's under house arrest. He posted $250,000 bail. His next court appearance isn't until late in March, and a lot of careers are down the tubes. And of course, it's more about these men, now grown men, and what happened to them. But Paterno said until his assistant coach, Mike McQuarrie, in 2002 approached him, he had no idea of a dark side to Sandusky. He said he had no idea whatsoever. Then McQuarrie told him what he saw, and he said it looked inappropriate and that kind of thing. And then they went from there, and the rest is history. As all of you know, this story is not finished. There may be more people that come forward, and we'll see what happens with Sandusky, and Paterno is out. And I think that of all the stories from last year, we did a recap of what were the big stories. Certainly that was one of them, and it's something that goes beyond sports. And the one thing that has happened as a result is other programs are looking at that, and other people, frankly, are coming forward. So that for all of that, that can't be a bad thing, but it's sad to hear Paterno explain his thinking in an interview to the Washington Post. He said you heard what he said. He had no idea how to deal with it, and that came back to hurt him and hurt the people who worked around him. They were stunned. People were just absolutely, and still to this day, people were absolutely stunned that happened with Joe Paterno, I think. And, you know, it'd be easy, and I thought about this, we almost put him in the dungeon, but I think we'll give him a pass on the dungeon because he's already in his own dungeon. He's already trapped in that and is trying desperately to fight his way out of that, I think, because so many people, even though they were supportive of him, were still just so upset by the things that were covered up at that university. Something else that happened over the weekend, of course, as I said, South Carolina is the big deal. The fact that you have this terrible Italian ship disaster, and if you see the photographs of it, I'll have to put some on the website. It's just stunning. You can't even believe that. It's like the ship, it's like somebody took a ship and just tipped it over. You just put it in a bathtub water and you just tip it over, and that's what the ship looks like. It doesn't even look real the way it flipped over. I mean, it doesn't look real. We've talked a lot about Iran, and Iran is
going to get a late entry into the dungeon since I already have it ready to go. I have the dungeon doors open.
So I have a late entry? I can have a late entry?
Yeah.
How about the Italian ship captain?
Exactly.
Yeah, that guy is brutal. He's making up stories. He's making up stories. They see him wrapped in blankets. You're right. You're right. Since you were already there with the keys, and I gave Paterno a pass. I didn't give him a pass on what happened, but I gave him a pass on the dungeon thing because he's, like I said, he's already in the dungeon. Let's put that captain in there. You're right.
This chamber has no windows and no doors.
Yeah, it's easy to be the captain of a cruise ship when it's all smooth waters, but what happens when things get rough and you make a mistake and you see the boat sinking and the hull is cracked and water is getting in? You save yourself and get away from the boat?
Yeah, this is a bigger deal than running out of shrimp at the buffet.
This is
a big time deal.
It is a big deal. 6 people are dead and people are missing. There could be 20 by the time it's all said and done. Plus all the people that were hurt and the people that were panicked. I know this for sure. After seeing people in these disaster situations, you have got to take matters into your own hands. It's like you can't sit there and wait for people to instruct you, because the people that were waiting to be instructed might not have survived that crash. That's so crazy. It's right there. I mean, the boat is practically on the beach, but I can see how you would die in that thing if you were when it tipped over, you're in your stateroom, whatever, and you can't get out. How are you going to get out with the water smashing down on top of you? And that's what happened, I think, to some of those people. Terrible, terrible. All right, one quick last thing here. Iran said on Sunday it got a letter from the U.S. government about the Strait of Hormuz. We know we've been talking about this a lot. That's that critical shipping lane in Tehran. They're threatening to still close it if the sanctions won't allow it to export oil. So we're still playing this touchy-feely tug of war over the strait. I mean, the message is clear. Clean it up. Forget enriching uranium and lying to us about what's going on. We've had enough of that. So, you know, I played Battleship over the weekend. It could be a case of who's sinking whose battleship. I mean, if it gets to that, then this is war. But right now, it's all about maneuvering around the board, and the board is the Strait of Hormuz. Do you ever wonder how they decide what goes on a stamp? Harry Rinker, my buddy, who has been a stamp collector since he was a kid, got a high, high honor. He's going to be one of the decision makers on the whole stamp thing. He's part of a committee. Exciting stuff. He's going to explain how we choose stamps, what goes on our stamps in this country. That's next.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Le Cig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
To America Tonight. Well, if you've listened to me for any length of time, especially in the last couple of years, you know that I adore this man. He is the guru of collectibles, Harry Rinker. And in fact, on the GCN Network, he has a show as well. Many of you listen to that show. And now he has an incredible honor. The Postmaster General, Patrick Donahoe, has appointed Harry Rinker as, check this out, you ready? One of the members of the Citizens Stamp Advisory Committee to a three-year term that just started in January of this year. He is one of five new people to join this committee, and only 15 people make up this committee. And the things that they get to do, think about it. Think about stamps. Think about the diversity in this country, and are certainly in all different directions, whether we're talking about music, whether we're talking about historical events, whatever. But he gets a chance to have a say in this. How cool is that? Harry, congratulations. It really is a very high, high honor.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kate. Yeah, it's something that I've been working on a little bit over the years. I was invited twice to lecture to the members of the Citizen Stamp Advisory Committee on collecting trends in the United States and the world. And I won over the professionals on the staff and some of the committee members. And all of a sudden, a couple years ago, they said, you know, Harry, we really would like to get you as a voting member of the committee. And I said, well, I'd be certainly glad to do it. And so they've been proposing my name over the years. And this year I made it. And so next week, on January the 19th, 20th, is my first CSAC meeting. The committee, as you said, is the group of 15 individuals that decides what images appear on U.S. postal stamps. And it's kind of an exciting time to be on the committee because historically, in order to honor a person in a stamp, they had to have passed away for 5 years. And now we can honor living people. So you can submit your own picture, Kate.
Oh, can you imagine the conversations that you're going to have in the room in deciding on things? I just, my mind goes in a lot of different directions, as I'm sure yours does too.
Well, actually, the United States Postal Services receives over 50,000 requests a year for a postage stamp to honor something or somebody or some place or some cause or whatever. By the time we get to the committee meeting, they're winnowed down to maybe about 200 a year. And of those, less than 40 make stamps. So it's quite a decision-making process. It's going to be fun for me because because I lectured to the committee before, I had friends on the committee, and they said, well, now, Harry, you better be prepared because, you know, once people find out you're on that committee, they're all going to come after you with their ideas. They said, you better make sure you just tell them to send them to Washington. But, you know, it'll be fun to hear some of the proposals for stamps. And what's fun about the committee, of course, we also obviously have some ability to propose stamps and stamp series is on our own as well. So it is going to be quite a time, actually.
And when you talk about stamps, and you mentioned that 50,000 requests, that's wild, and whittling that all the way down to 200. And then when you look at the 200, is it the 200 that you and the committee would go through and you're consulting and whatnot?
No, what happens is we have a number of series. We have stamps about people, stamps about historic events, stamps about causes, you know, Christmas stamps, certain holiday stamps, that type of thing that are done on a standard basis. Usually, for example, every 50th anniversary of a state, there tends to be a stamp for that or at least some form of honoring. So there's some traditional stuff, but there's a lot of flexibility as well. What happens is that the CSAC committee, the 15 members of the committee, meet four times a year for 2 days at the clip. But at the same time, we have subcommittees that work in between those meetings, one of which deals with stamp topics, another one which deals with promoting stamp collecting and so forth. So I'm kind of anxious to see which committee I'll get assigned to. And, of course, there's also committees that deal with the design and the artwork on the stamps themselves. What seems like a very simple process is not that simple. Once the committee picks a topic for a stamp or subject matter for a stamp, there is a research team that researches that subject. I mean, for example, let's suppose, well, they did a series of stamps on dog, and they decided to honor 20 breeds. Well, as you know, there's a lot more than 20 breeds. So first of all, they had to decide what 20 breeds would be used. And then the research committee collected hundreds of pictures of dogs from each breed until they decided which image they want to use. And then once they get that done, then they have to decide, well, do we want an artist sketch? Do we want a photograph? What is it that we want on the stamp? And that goes to designers and then on to artists. And we get to see a certain amount of that in the committee. And then finally, of course, comes the launch of the stamp and so forth. So it's a process that, you know, from beginning to end can take a year to several years, actually. Because I start my appointment in January 2012, I was under the impression I'd be working on the stamps for 2013, 14, and 15, and I'm certain I will. But apparently there's still some decisions yet to be made for the stamps in the 2012 series. They've identified some of the series, but not necessarily images. So I get to see some of the new stamps. It's going to be fun to kind of see the first stamp that said yes, no, thumbs up, thumbs down kind of thing.
Yeah, no kidding. And this is, I'm thinking because, of course, you have such a resume, and we've talked about other shows that you've been on, all the books over the years that you've written. I mean, you're a prolific antiques collectibles writer, no doubt. You have, 25 titles, I think, now at this point.
Yeah, more than that.
Yeah, and this is your background. I mean, this is in your wheelhouse. But I'm thinking of the young Harry. As a little kid, didn't you collect stamps?
Yes, I did. Yeah. I grew up in that generation of people that cut their teeth on the big three, stamps, coins, and rocks. And in fact, I've been digging around for my old stamp albums. I think I actually have them here in Michigan. I think I did bring them out here, although I haven't found them recently. But I've been kind of put on the committee because of my ability to predict collecting trends, to see where things are going in the future. Stamp collecting, like many collecting categories, has been kind of hard hit. A lot of the collectors are older. It's a graying community. We've got to get the young people turned on. And it's, even though I made the big 7-0 last year, one of the reasons I've been pointing the committee is I think young. And so we're going to be, I'm going to be out there fighting for stamps that 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds can identify with, and not 70 and 80-year-olds. Well, no, because you know, we've issued a lot of stamps for historic people, and my feeling is if you stop 100 people on the street and say, who is this person, I'd be lucky if one out of 100 would know. And, you know, I think it's time we start issuing stamps for images that people identify with. Although I have to tell you, it was very interesting. When they announced that we would do living images, there were a number of blog sites and others that did a contest to see who people most wanted to see on a stamp, right? Okay, yeah. Here you go, Kate. Who was the winner?
Lady Gaga.
You're right! You're absolutely right. She's not getting a stamp. I can tell you that right.
She's too young. She hasn't earned it yet. Come on.
but you know, one of the things that they're working on is they are doing a series of stamps on living individuals. I know what the first series is. And I know what the second series is. And one of the things, however, is that you know you can't put all 50 and 60 and 70-year-old people on those stamps because the young people will not identify with them. And so, you know, if for some reason you would want a sports hero or I'm not sure Tim Tebow is going to get a stamp right away, but, you know, if you want a sports hero that someone in their 20s and 30s, male or female, would identify with, that would be very different than if you were looking for a sports hero that someone in their 60s and 70s would identify with. And I think the feeling is that we need to be much more responsive to our audience. The other thing, too, you're going to love this one, Kate. Most stamps, now I'm not going to say all stamps, but a lot of stamps have kind of a male feel about them. The committee has been heavily male. And yet the principal buyers of stamps are women. So, you know, male chauvinist pig that I am, I'm leading the movement to do more stamps that appeal to women.
There you go. I was thinking, what woman would I want to see in a stamp? I came up with somebody that would be great to do a stamp on, though, that everybody identifies with, and he changed the world, Steve Jobs.
Well, actually, in the popular list, he was very high. He was very high. He was very high on the list. But now I'll throw a challenge at you. If you had to pick three living women for whom to do stamps, who would you pick?
That's tough.
That's tough, isn't it?
It is tough.
It's a really interesting.
Oprah. I guarantee people would say Oprah because she just had so much reach.
Well, first of all, I think there's a lot of sentiment. I think that's a popular choice, Kate. Actually.
Yeah,
it is. Very popular choice.
Yeah. Wow. Hillary Clinton would be another one that would be thrown out there. Well, I mean, on this show, I'm sure now everyone's dying that I said Hillary Clinton, but I'm just saying because she's got the buzz, the name, ran for president and Secretary of State.
But do you put Geraldine Ferraro on, perhaps?
Well, yeah, first ever.
But,
there you go.
But she's not living, so that's
Sarah Palin.
No.
Michelle Bachmann.
Conservative than I am, Kate. I don't think so. But you know, we the Citizen Stamp Advisor could be our only advisory to the Postmaster General. We have a fair say in what goes up to his approval, he has the right to say no to our suggestions, and he also has the right to strongly suggest to us that he wants a stamp for this area. At which point we say yes or three back four, you know.
I love it. Harry, so fun kicking this around with you. Congratulations. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
Hey, you bet, Kate. Take care.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
South Carolina coming up next week, so we have a whole week to dissect the politics that are going on the ground in South Carolina. Everybody on the Republican side is there, and of course there's some reconnaissance being done by the Democrats, which is what happens when you have an election cycle like this for president when an incumbent is running. All right, we're at the tail end of this hour here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. A couple of quick things. Don't forget, coming up, we've got Nail the Score in our third hour. We are giving away a super sweet GPS. I mean, it is fully loaded, awesome, wireless, a where you are thing. When you're lost, it's terrific. And that's just one of the things that you would win if you nailed the score in our prize package. So our computer will randomly pick one of the four games of the weekend. And then you call in, tell us who you think is going to win and what you think the final score will be. Third hour. Or you send us an email to americatonight.net. Speaking of odds, I said I would give the odds. I know this is a layup. Mitt Romney is on top in the polls for whatever you think of the polls. I think 2-1 odds for Mitt Romney to win South Carolina, clear the board, and pretty much declare it Mitt Romney's. 5-1 odds on Newt Gingrich. He's appealing to a lot of people, and he's got a tax on the air. He spent over $3 million trying to really get out the conservatives, and he's got two new attacks on Romney, an ad that's airing in that state that I mentioned that ties Romney, or tries to brand him anyway, to a pro-abortion governor. and a 3-minute web video that just rips Romney's statements. I mean, just rips them to shreds, for whatever that's worth. An 8-2 odds on Rick Santorum. I don't think he has enough mustard to pull it off in the end, but those would be my top three, and then go from there. I really like Ron Paul. We'll see where he finishes. And Ron Paul does appeal to a lot of people in South Carolina, but I think it's Mitt's to win at this point, even though all the attacks are there on Bain Capital. Speaking of the election, so many of us in this country care about health care and where we're headed and how much it's going to cost and what's going to happen to individuals and what's going to happen to small businesses and companies and, you know, how does this all shake out? So we cornered HR expert Paul Bizzell, and one of the things I talked to him about was HR and how it would just explode the responsibilities for that department, wouldn't it? And from the point of view of the company, the small company, and you deal with these kind of clients, the small company or even the bigger corporation, that throws them into turmoil, because I can just imagine if I'm the HR person, I'm probably the most unpopular or popular person in the building, since everyone's going to blow up my phone lines asking me a bazillion questions about their health care, right?
Oh, absolutely. I think the bigger companies have the larger burden.
Yeah.
Smaller companies, at least you have the opportunity perhaps to get everybody around the employee lounge or in the big meeting room and kind of say, okay, this is what the story is today. They're hearing it directly from an owner or somebody of authority within the small company. And maybe that's easier than, as you point out, the HR person saying, well, this is the story today, and we're now communicating with many thousands of people, you know, spread out across the United States, perhaps some people that are even working outside the United States on assignment but are still affected by what's going on here. And, oh, by the way, that was last week. This week we've got a different story to tell you. It becomes very taxing on everybody.
Yeah, no kidding. When did you start to really see the change happening? When did you see where it was becoming such a giant mountain and this became such a political football or minefield, depending on how you look at it? I think more minefield than anything else.
You're almost giving me an opportunity to pound on my chest and pat myself on the back, Kate. We started our business 13 years ago with the idea that this was coming. We weren't able, of course, to see when it would come or how it would come, but the handwriting has been on the wall a long, long time for anybody, I believe, that is paying attention, that there's no way you can have any expense rising so much faster than inflation and expect it to be sustained in whatever delivery system it comes in, whether it's employer-based or government-based or however it comes. There is just no way that a expense of any kind can sustain double-digit annual increases when the economy does not support that. Sales and demand for products and services don't offset those costs. It's just a formula that is ultimately going to collapse under its own weight, and that's exactly what we're seeing.
Yeah. If you were on the other side of this, and you're right, you were ahead of this show, which was smart on your part to establish the kind of company that you established, but if we put a different hat on your head for a second and you had a seat in the game, a chip in the game, which all of us have a chip in the game, but a chip in the game where you are part of the legislative process, what do you think could be done to try to pull apart this nightmare that I think is going to take a long time to solve, by the way?
If I had an answer to that question, I would probably
run for office
for president right now, and I would probably be winning.
I think it's partially, well, you know, the insurance companies have gotten so big, but they're also bogged down in tons of red tape, and it's just one spider web after another, all connected into this whole puzzle that got out of control in the first place. That's why you saw that. That's why you were ahead of that, because you saw that it was going to become a nightmare. And how I couldn't deal with it. If I had a company, I'm opening a company, and my company's growing, and like you say, a big corporation, this is a big chunk of what people, the whole employee benefits thing. That's part of the hiring process. That was always part of the carrot that you got. Hey, you know what? You got a big family, and we've got a great plan, and part of the plan is this, this, and this. I mean, that's how the game works. That's how all of us are used to it. And that game might change. People might be better served getting their own insurance. Do you think that that's too far away for some?
No. And we're of the opinion that that may be the single best thing that could possibly happen in terms of being able to have any hope of controlling healthcare costs in the future. And let me kind of put some meat on the bones, because that was a pretty cavalier statement. Think about the difference about how somebody treats a home that they rent versus a home that they own, or how they might treat a car that they rent versus a car that they own. What is a person going to be more vested in? What are they going to take better care of?
The stuff they own.
Exactly. And if you believe in that dynamic, which is sort of human nature, to take good care of what you're vested in, we think there's a great deal of wisdom in the idea of people assuming 100% ownership of their health insurance decision. That doesn't mean employers don't help with costs and don't help employees in this transition. And it is a huge transition, as you point out. So the employer doesn't completely back out of the job of providing some level of support and perhaps a financial benefit, which is something you alluded to earlier. But what they do escape from is the uncertainty and uncontrolled huge hit to their operating budget each year.
Yeah.
Never knowing how much health insurance is going to go up, because in a smaller mid-sized company, you have a good year, you may have a small increase. You have a bad year where you have a lot of sick people on your payroll. There's no telling what that expense is going to increase to.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. We're out of time. Yeah. Paul, let's have you back on again. That was terrific. I like what you said at the end. You're right. It changes. It's a big variable depending on what happens each and every year.
The size, the dynamics, and the variability of healthcare as a topic, it's really difficult, maybe impossible for any idea to come to an advantage of one group that doesn't come at the expense of another.
Absolutely. Paul, thanks so much. Paul Bozell, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again down the line here on America Tonight.
Thanks again for having me, Kate.